It is good to see people here. You know, there are some of us gone, but there are others of you that came to fill it in, and it's especially good to see visitors here with us today. Welcome to our service today. I can't help myself but notice that Earl Knisley is here. He could have been here in my place. And it's good to have you back. We worked together. We worshiped here together. You shared in the lot with others here, and you've served elsewhere for most of your adult life, but it's good to have you back, and all the rest of you as well. I want to think this morning for a few minutes about the magnificent love of God. Oh, I think of other words like marvelous and breathtaking and amazing, astounding, spectacular, unbelievable, and the list could go on. The magnificent love of God. Maybe our favorite verse, or one of them, is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I'd like to picture here a father coming home. And he calls his children's names, and then he watches as they come to him with outstretched hands and squealing voices as they welcome him home. They delight in each other, and they're ready and eager to let their daddy love them. They'd all compete to have a spot on his lap. But change the picture a little. Suppose the children would come saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm glad you came home, and this is what I want. More candy, more toys, and can we go camping next summer?" Imagine the father saying to them, "Whoa, here, this isn't a restaurant, and I'm not your waiter. I'm your daddy, and I just want to have you just climb up into my lap, and I just want to love you." Think of that picture and what it might mean. Wouldn't God sometimes feel like that with us? We come to him and we've got our list of things that we need, the aches and pains and the requests that we have. Do you think God might want to do the same? "Oh, he wouldn't want to do that with me. I mean, he's up there and I'm just, you know." Well, what do you think? Open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah 31. There are so many verses in the Bible that speak about the magnificent love of God that we'll take just a few of them. But in Jeremiah 31:3, to whom was God speaking when he said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love"? That's verse 3. Well, we'll read the first three verses of Jeremiah 31. "At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Or to restructure that sentence, "Therefore, I've drawn you with loving kindness. I have loved you." God is saying this to all the families of Israel. "I have loved you, and they shall be my people." In verse 1, it says that. In verse 3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Since John records that Jesus said that God so loved the world, we can know that this verse, that is, these words that are said to Israel back in that time, are generalized to all people, and it includes you and me. In fact, Romans says, and we can ask ourselves, is he serious about this? This says, "Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ." Romans 8:39. Or listen to this from the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3 and verse 17, I will linger over these precious words. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty one will save you. He will rejoice over you. You will rest in his love. He will sing and be joyful about you. A lot of times in our sin self-centeredness, we may think that we're the singers and God's the audience. But you know, here, the picture is clear that he's the singer and he's singing to us. What a joy! How marvelous! How magnificent is this great love of God? We can rest in his love, and he will sing and be joyful about me. You know, sometimes God would just like to quiet our hearts and get us to sit still and quit squirming around and objecting that I'm not worthy of his affection. Well, maybe we're not, true enough, but God wants us to just lay it aside and learn to revel in his affection. You know, neither was Judas worthy of God's love or Jesus' attentions, but he washed his feet. And neither was Peter, and Jesus served him a hot breakfast. The two Emmaus-bound disciples, Jesus took time to sit at their table. And it's our privilege, too, to sit still and long enough to let him have us and love us. Now, we've been reading in 1 John in our Sunday school lessons things like, we love him because he first loved us. That's the first result of the magnificent love of God. Secondly, in 1 John 5:1, I could quote a similar verse in chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John 5:1, everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. And maybe I should just take the time to point it out in 1 John 3:16, kind of the interesting corollary to John 3:16, where it says that by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The second result that I'd like to point out this morning of the love of God is that we learn to love the other sons and daughters of God. And it says, even here, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There are various ways in which this is true, but as we become members of the body of Christ, if it's a scriptural church, then it's reasonable and understandable that we're going to lay some things down because it's worth it. We're going to love the brethren. And then in verses 2 and 3 of John, 1 John 5, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So we have these two things coming out, that we love the other sons and daughters of God, and then also that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't burdensome. The fourth result is the one of God's discipline. In Proverbs 3, precious verses that are quoted in large measure in Hebrews 12, in this passage on the chastening of God, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. If a father can truly discipline and delight, it's a wonderful combination that produces results of relationship. Yesterday, a wedding guest of Walter's family, who was born in India, told us that his wife admonished him that when in Rome he should do as the Romans. After noting, among other things, the friendly visiting of the crowd and the serving of biryani and other Bengali food, he decided he was at least Italian, if not Roman. And we enjoyed the humor as he spoke to us at open mic time. And then later, when he and I visited privately, he observed that when children were fussy during yesterday's service, that the fathers took them out. Well, you and I know that it isn't always the fathers that take the children out, but he was commenting that he thinks this is wonderful and maybe often missing in the world today, in that fathers are absent or not involved, and it's a tremendous bonding time, he said, for fathers to take children out, whether they need practical needs met or whether they need discipline. Fathers have an opportunity, and thank you, fathers, for giving this kind of a testimony yesterday, whoever it was. He commended the practice, and he observed that many miss out on this, and maybe sometimes they miss out on this bonding with mothers, but too often it's only the mothers that do the disciplining in children's lives. So I need to close, I'm sure. But I'm happy to revel with you in the love of God, the magnificent, the amazing, the unmatched, the undying love of God, the God that has pursued his people from creation till now, and one who promises that he's now designing mansions for us that we can inhabit all of heaven and eternity with him. What a blessing. I quote again, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. And the Lord your God is with you. The Mighty One will save you. He will rejoice over you. You will rest in his love. He will sing and be joyful about you. And I invite you to bow your heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you with joy and amazement at the expressed and faithful love that you have for each of us. And we rest in that love. And I pray that you would help us to participate in that love and to respond back to you and to love the brothers and sisters, your other sons and daughters. And I pray that you would help us to keep your commandments, the commandments that aren't grievous because of our relationship and because you know what's good for us. And I pray also that when we experience your discipline, that you will help us to see the good in it and your loving heart. Lord, this day is a day set aside to know you and worship you in a special way. I pray that you would undertake for the teachers and each one that contributes today. In the worthy name of Jesus, amen.